Okay, the shiur sponsored it in honor of Reza Bas Michal. Beit Knesset Kuf Nun Gimel Seif Yud Aleph. Beit Knesset O Levinim Veitzim Beit Knesset Yeshan Shesatru. You have an old shul that's been taken apart. The pieces from it, the building blocks, Yecholim Litein B'Matana. You can give it away as a gift. Because we're assuming there's obviously an exchange of some kind of benefit in return. A return of a favor, a future favor. There has to be some. We're assuming they're obviously giving it away for a reason. And therefore, Hadar Havile Kemecher, when you give it as a gift, it has the same din as a sale. And therefore, whenever you have a sale, all the Kedusha can disappear. Or you can exchange it for something else, and that's also considered a sale where the Kedusha disappears. Okay. Aval asur lamashkanan o lahaskiran o lahashilan. While the items, the shul, the building blocks, the materials still have Kedusha, until you sell them, there's Kedusha. So while they still have Kedusha, you can't use them for anything else. You can't rent them out, can't use them as a mashkun, and you can't lend them out even. Afilu ayidei shiva tuvei ha'ir, even if you have the permission of the shiva tuvei ha'ir. Why? She'adayim nisharim b'kdushatan, because they still have holiness. And it's set aside, it's inappropriate. She'ein kan davar acher she'tachul kedushatan alav, because you need some other way for the kedusha to be transferred or disappeared. Haga. Right, it's a problem to lend it out if you're going to be using it for a purpose that has lower kedusha. Aval mutar leashil afilu sefer likrot ba, but you can obviously lend out dvarim shall be kedusha if they're going to be used for kedusha. They're going to be used to learn from them. Afilu mishal rabim liyachid, even if it belongs to a shul or a sefer Torah of the rabim and has been used, you can also give it to a yachid who's going to use it, because it's being used for davar shebi kedusha. Okay. Yud bet mi sheyesh lo tanai al kahal shelo yuchal livnot beit hakneset ki im hu vizar o eino yachol limkor zechuto leacher. Basically, this is saying anytime a person makes a deal with the beit knesset, with the people, whatever the deal is, he has certain rights for something. He bought the rights to do something. He's not allowed to give that zechut necessarily, that they entitled to him. Well, we'll explain. The Mishnah Berurah says this is talking about, when you give a right for free. If they honor you with a certain right, then you can't go and decide to give it to somebody else, because it was the agreement that they honored you and only you. You have no right to give that honor to somebody else. But if you bought the honor, then you're allowed to sell that honor. Okay. Yud Gimel. Gavu ma'ot v'binyan beit ha'knesset uva lehem dvar mitzvah. Okay. So now you collect money for the purpose of building a shul. And now another mitzvah item came up. All right, so now, can you use it for this other mitzvah item? So, motzi'in ba hama'ot, you're allowed to use that money that was collected for the Beit Knesset for a different davar mitzvah.
Okay.
Again, this is, it's a question, again, this is one of the si'ifim, which makes it, you put them all together, it's a little confusing how to work this out. Chronim deal with it, it dropped differently. So, three simple scenarios of how is it that you're allowed to. So you collected money, so either it never reached the hands of a gabbai, so therefore you still have a right to switch the gabbai tzedakah for the shul, or you have the agreement of the shiva tuvei ha'ir with the ma'amar anshei ha'ir. Everyone knows about it, everyone agrees that they're switching what it's for. Or it's referring to lending out the money. You can't switch it permanently. But if you collected money for the shul and the shul doesn't need the money yet, just the kablan is a contractor, it's not up to that stage. The money's just sitting in the bank. So some say you're allowed to lend out the money. It's a machloket achronim. In the meantime, kanu avanim v'korot. Now, if you actually bought with the money, the materials, so then the halacha says lo yimkirum lidvar mitzvah. Then you cannot sell it out for any dvar mitzvah, ella except for lepidyon shivuyim. And some of them point out that lechatchila you're not allowed to, but technically you are allowed to. Okay. Pidyon shvuyim, so that has obviously that's one of the greatest of mitzvahs to use with your money, and therefore you're allowed to. Afal pi sheviu havanim megdarum v'tekorot v'fesalu mitkinu hakol b'yamei knesset. Even if you got the wood and you started and you cut the wood to the proper measurements to build, everything's ready to go. You can mochrin hakol pidyon shvuyim bilvad. Then you're allowed to sell everything only for pidyon shvuyim if you need the money. Aval. Now, obviously, lechatchila, if you don't need the money, it's better to raise more money for pidyon shvuyim. Aval, imbanu v'gamru, if you already built the Beit Knesset, so then, loyim kuru Beit Knesset ele yigbu ele pidyon minat zibor. So in such a case, then what do? You don't sell the Beit Knesset, it's already built, now you have to make sure you go collect more money for pidyon shvuyim. Okay, from a separate fund. Okay. Now also this, it's inappropriate if it's possible. But even for this, under certain circumstances, you are allowed to with the Shiva Tuveir and Ma'amaran Sheyair. Okay. Yudalid. Reuven She'amar Karka Zo Anino Ten Livnot Aleha Beit Knesset. I'm giving this land for to build a Beit Knesset. But then he wasn't able to. The city, whoever is in charge of the city, didn't let. You know what? They won't let us build a shul here, but they'll let us build a little study, a little library. We'll turn it into a Beit Midrash. What's the halacha? Reuven omer, adai tedahachi lo nadri. I only made a neder for this land to be for a Beit Knesset specifically. Lo matzei Reuven hadarbe. So Reuven can't go back on his word, because he made a neder to give it. V'im Reuven lo haya dar sham, hayu yecholim l'shanota. If Reuven didn't live in the city, then they do have a right. It's because he lives there and he's more involved, and he doesn't, and we can say he had in mind that he didn't use it for any other purpose. But if he doesn't live there, they're allowed to switch, because we assume he doesn't care so much. It's not his home. He's not so involved. He's not so in yet. He didn't buy into it, so it's he gave this money and he moved on. It's not in his mind. But if he lives there, Einam Rasha'im Leshanota Imu Omed V'Tzoveach. If he screams out, I don't allow you, then he has a right, and they cannot switch purposes. Unless you have somebody who's a big Talmud Chacham that everybody looks up to, and he gets to do whatever he wants. So then we assume that the one who gave the money, even if he lives there, was based on whatever the chaver ha'ir decides, and continues. V'shiva tuvi ha'ir dinam kechaver ha'ir. So here, the Rama says, but actually, according to the, we allow the shiva tuvi ha'ir to do whatever they decide, because even if he lives in the city, we assume he does it on the he donated it on their with their das in mind. Okay. Tedvav. Mishi hishel beito leveita knesset. V'yishel merivayim echad me'akahal. All right. So someone lends out his home for a Beit Knesset. And then he gets into a fight with somebody in the shul. Okay. Eino yachol le'osra ele inkein yesrenu l'kol ha'kahal ki'achad. He's not allowed to single out this one person and say, everyone can use the shul except this one guy. I don't let him use it. Okay. V'davk, yeah. Oh, I skipped Tedvav, didn't I? Yeah, sorry. Let's go back to Tedvav. Sorry. Ein Adam Yachol Lesor Chelko Mida Knesset V'lo Me'asfarim V'im Asar Eino Klum. Similar idea. If a person he davens in a shul, he's not allowed to say my portion of the Beit Knesset and from the Sfarim is Asar to somebody in particular. And if he says so, Eino Klum, it has no power whatsoever. So, two reasons for this, and it's more of a sugya elsewhere, but one of them is Tiknu is a takana from the Geonim, that no one has a right to say that part of the shul is not allowed because of, I think it's because it's Darkei Shalom, I believe that's why. Right. And then also, there's also a din of, it's a davar she'en bo din chaluka. A Beit Knesset can't be divided. So, separate sugya, not ours. But because he's not able to just have his own little, it's one thing if it's his personal sefer. But if it belongs to the whole shul, and it's not his to write, it's also not his anymore. Well, even though you say he has a shutaf, we say we don't allow breira over here, but based on the takana of the Geonim. Anyways, bottom line, a person cannot usher any part of the Beit Knesset. It's a partnership for everybody. Ted Zayin. Now, if somebody lent out his home, right? Mishihi shel beit levet Knesset v'yeshel merivayim echad me'akahal. So it's clearly his. He owns it, but eni yachol usher alim ken yasher no kol kahal ki'achad. That's also, this is said from the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom, about the halacha, that you're going to end up embarrassing somebody, obviously. So this is, you're not allowed to. That's aser. You can't single someone out not to. V'davka shehi shel techila stam. Now that's only if he just says, I'm lending my home for the shul, and it doesn't specify more than that. But if he said when he lent out the home to the shul, he said, listen, if there's someone who's going to disrespect me, I have rights to kick out any individual I want. If he never told them I'm lending out the shul, it just kind of happened, and he lets them in, then he has the right. Okay. Yud Zayin. Mi shehaya beveito beit haKnesset yamim rabim. Person has a shul in his home. It's pretty established for many days. Ein atzibur rashayim lashanota bebeit acher. The tzibur is not allowed to leave homes. It's a problem with Darkei Shalom. You're going to insult the one who lets you use his home, or even his name, because people are going to talk, why, what's going on? Even if there's a little benefit from one shul to the other, they're not allowed to switch. That has to be a lot more of a tzorach. All right, so in general, right, once it's established in one place, you're not allowed to switch. Okay. Now, if you want to make another shul, you're going to leave that shul intact, and some people want to start a second minyan. So assuming it's okay or a good idea to start the second minyan, that's not a problem. It's not a problem of taking away from the kavod of the person or a total kafui tov, lack of being totally ungrateful. Okay? Now, this same halacha applies not only to this Beit Knesset, but for many other things. If a person gets a chazakah and he gets this kavod or he does this mitzvah, even if it comes up once a year, but everyone knows this is his mitzvah, it's not simple. It's often usher to take it away from him. Okay. Yurchet. Yesh mi she'omer shekli ha-kodesh al-kesef she'nagu lehavi tamid lebeit ha-knesset b'chagim en yecholim lehotzi lechulin ulemochram ve'akahal yecholim letofsam she'isharu b'cheskat hekdesh achar mitat ha-makdish. Okay, so some say that when a klei kodesh is given, you have silver, it's brought to the shul to use. So then you can't take it back anymore. And it's kadosh, it belongs to the kahal. And even after he passes away, the yorshim don't get it, he gets it. The shul gets it. The Magen Avraham writes that nowadays the minhag is, it stays the ownership of the bialim or the yorshim. They get it back. Because the minhag is nowadays when people bring their silver or a sefer Torah, these things are not given as ownership to the shul. It's known that these people still own it unless they specifically give it away to the shul. And they say it's there; it belongs to the shul. But Mishnah Berurah says it's good when you give it to always say clearly that it's only you're lending it and you can take it back whenever you want. Yotet. Yesh mi she'omer she'im nimtza achar mitat adam k'tav katu she'ikdish kelim. Person passes away. And then they find this piece of paper that says, oh, he was a makdishet to the shul. This paper stayed in his home and never went anywhere, and it was never given. There's no witnesses to such a thing. Afilu hachi have hektish. Since we see it's written, but in his handwriting, we know for sure it's from him, then it belongs to the shul. Okay. All right. This is not a very clear halacha, one way or another. So tzarechion lemaisa. Chaf, yesh mi she'omer she'sefer Torah she'huchzak she'ya shel avotav shel Reuven ein ha'tzibur yecholim lachazik bo. Okay, so once yesh mi she'omer sefer Torah she'huchzak she'ya shel, wait, if it's clear that we know it belonged to somebody in particular, so then the tzibur is not allowed to hold on to it, because we know it belonged to somebody. Okay, even if interesting case in the Mishnah Berurah, that there was a place that didn't have a Sefer Torah. It was a shul, a city, didn't have a Sefer Torah. So somebody lent it for them to use every week. And then they decided to buy a Sefer Torah. This happens often with new communities or new shuls. So, and then the shul buys their own Sefer Torah and they want to stop using the individuals because this belongs to the shul. So it's allowed. Obviously, there's no in this case, since it didn't belong to the shul, it's not a chazaka for this person. Obviously, to have another individual just replace him, that would be inappropriate. But this is because this person, he wanted the sefer to belong to him, and the shul wants one for the shul. So then they have a right to use theirs instead of his. But the Mishnah Berurah says they should really switch off so that you give kavod to both of them. Same thing, I know when I lent a Sephardic Sefer Torah to an Ashkenazi shul, it was understood from the get-go that when they get their Ashkenazi shul, my Sefer Torah is going to be second place. Kaf Aleph. Ein liknot me'ilim shenishtamesh behem hedyot letashmish kedusha. Okay. Something that was already used for clothing or some other mundane purpose should not be used for Tashmish to Kedusha. You should buy something b'kavadik, a new haga. Asur la'asot. Okay. Asur la'asot. You're not allowed to mi etnan zona, the higher wages from a zona, a prostitute, o mechir kelev, or what was used to purchase a dog, davar shel mitzvah. You're not allowed to use these for davar shel mitzvah. I'm just going to take a real quick tangent for a little piece of Chumash 101. There's a pasuk in, I think it's Kitetze, it's in Gvarim, Kaf Gimel, I believe Yud Tet, something like that. This is weird. Okay, anyway, so there's, it's okay, forget about it. There's a halacha. You're not allowed to use Etnan Zona or Mechir Kelev to bring on the Mizbeach. So what does that mean? What's an Etnan Zona? If a person gives a wage to a Zona before he goes with her, and then, so he gives her the, not money, it has to be an item that can be used on the Mizbeach. So that's what not everybody realizes. It's if you pay a zona money and then you're intimate with her afterwards, that money can be used to purchase a korban. That's not what certainly on a deraisa level. That's not what the Torah is talking about. It's only if you, let's say, you pay her with a sheep or with the flour or the wine, something that's useful in that state, not grapes, because it's changed. So that's when you're not allowed to bring that on the Mizbeach. And the same applies, we're going to see, with the shul. Just like in the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to pay with a seh, so too, you're not allowed to, let's say you pay a zona with blocking bricks, or the cement that you're going to use, or the drywall you're going to use. If you pay her with those items, so she cannot bring those items to donate towards the shul. The shul cannot use those items. All right? With money you can. Kesef yane et hakol. Kesef answers everything. Solves all problems. Umechir kelev. And what's a mechir kelev? It's not, also, if you buy a dog with cash, that cash can be used for the Beis HaMikdash. It can be used for a shul. It's talking about an item. If you sell a dog with a sheep, or you sell a dog with the items that you're going to use for the Beit Knesset, so that's what we're talking about. Now, just to digress a drop, what we all understand what's so bad about a zona, how inappropriate it is. What about the kelev? What did kelev do? So, just a quick short few explanations. What is so bad? So the Rambam writes, because it's a real bizayon, and that's what was commonly used in those days. It was easy to use. Something that's a real bizayon and a to'eva, that combination of a to'eva that's commonly used would be a mechir kelev or etnan zona. The Ramban says, why were they commonly used? Because they felt guilty. And they felt bad because a zona, we know what she's doing. That's obviously inappropriate, to say the least. And a kelev, they were often damaging. They would often hurt people, or even worse. So therefore, they're very damaging and scary, and they have tremendous azut panim, brazenness. And the owners would feel bad. So these owners would bring one of their dogs every so often for a korban, to make himself get a kapara. Same thing with the zona. Some say also because those, a kelev or a zona, were often used to lure people in to a Beit Knesset, to the house of worship, whether it was Jewish or non-Jewish, probably. So therefore, it was considered something that was a real to'eva. The Torah calls it a to'eva. Also, we know that a zona and a kelev, Kliyakar points out, shares how they're extremely promiscuous, znus, both of them. And they're also known for the tremendous brazenness in particular, these two. So they have that in common. Another thing the Oznayim LaTorah points out, the dog is extremely sly. A lot of animals, you know who they are, but these dogs, they're going to go hunt, they go for you and hunt the poor animals that are hiding. So it's a moser, and it's another level of evil, and it's not okay. The Mishnah Berurah says, because these things, I think it's the Mishnah Berurah, he says Beit Knesset is used to extend in life. And here, these items, Zonam and Kelev, are also used to shorten one's life. Anyway, that's somewhere I saw. Okay, back to the Ramah. Kegon, Beit HaKnesset or Sefer Torah. So you can't use them for a Davar Mitzvah, such as a Beit Knesset, or to purchase a Sefer Torah. V'davka me'etnan atzma, only from the item itself that was used to purchase. Not if you change it, and not if you exchange it for money afterwards. Aval im natnu la ma'ot be'etnan. But if you give money for the in exchange of the etnan or the actual money that was used for prostitution, mutar liknot behem davar mitzvah. You're allowed to purchase with a davar mitzvah. V'lo mikrei zona, ela iser erva. Only an iser erva, whether it's a lavin or kares, that's what we're talking about. That's when it has this iser of etnan zona. But if it's from a panoy, pnuya, then it's technically it's allowed to use their money. Not that it's allowed to do, but it's allowed to use their money. Okay. Kav bet. Adam shehu ragil b'shum mitzvah kegon glila ve'eru oneso oni v'natnu akahala mitzvah le'acher. Person who always had this mitzvah, like such as glila, and then something happened. He used to always purchase it. It used to always be his. And then he got something. An onus happened, or he got poor, and he can no longer pay for these rights. So they gave it to someone else. But now he got a little more money again, and he wants to buy the rights for this mitzvah. So this means when he gets more money and he's able to purchase it. So they ask him, you want the mitzvah back? You want to start paying and get your rights back? So if he says yes, then he gets it back. But if at that time, he didn't want it, so then he lost his zechut. He can't come back in a month or a year later and say, you know what, I want to get it back. But here, if he has money and he asks for it back right away, then he can. And really, it's for any mitzvah. By the way, to use that, again, it's not common, but non zonah, mechir kelev, just point out it's for any mitzvah, with talis, lulav. Okay.